chapter 12, beginning with verse 20.
Which verse? 20. Čitaće se iz Svete reči Gospodnje, Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, iz 12. glave, početak čitanja 20. broju. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, glava 12. od 20. stiha dalje.
And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and tell Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And while ye have light, ye believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He that blinded their eyes, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And he that rejecteth me and rejecteth not my words, receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak thereof, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. May God bless the reading of the word, and let us bow before him in prayer.
Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee upon bended knee in this morning hour, glorifying thy name, asking thee that thou wouldst glorify thy name. Lord, we know that thou art greater than light, Father, and as we see the sun shining this morning, Father, we would say that thou dost shine brighter. And so we just come in thy house in this day, giving thee thanks in advance, Father, knowing that thy spirit will be here in our midst as it has in so many times. Father, we know that thy spirit will speak to our hearts. We know that thy spirit will be faithful and he will bring forth a message to us. And we pray thee that we would have attentive ears to hear what the spirit would speak to us, and that we would meditate upon that in the coming days, and that we would live out by thy grace that which the Spirit has inspired us in this day. And so we would give thee thanks now, Lord, for that which would be spoken of in this day. We thank thee that truth has come to this earth, the truth of Jesus Christ, and that he has brought forth a message of salvation, and that he did not come to judge this world, but to save this world. And so, Father, we are thankful for his coming. We are thankful, Lord, that we have this opportunity to have our salvation met in Jesus Christ. Father, we give thee thanks, we give thee praise, and we give thee honor, for thou art so worthy of this that would come from us. Thou art worthy. And so we just pray thee, Lord, that we would align ourselves with thee. Lord, that we would get rid of any thoughts that would not be appropriate, Lord, in this day, Father, but that our minds would be focused upon thee, that we would worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that we would have thee in front of our eyes, Lord, always, Lord, that we would come with eyes of faith, Lord, beholding thee, and with ears hearing what the Spirit would speak to us, and encouraging one another in this way of salvation that thou hast called us to, and that thou hast illuminated us with. And so our prayers are for this congregation in this day. Lord, be thou with each and every one. Provide thou the needs as only thou canst provide. Lord, surely none of us know the needs of all that are gathered here, but thou dost know. And so our prayer is, Lord, in thine own way, as thou art so capable and able to do, Father, that thou wouldst meet the needs of each and every one that is gathered here. Provide comfort, provide companionship, provide whatever it is, Lord, that the need is in this morning hour and in this day for this congregation. Father, we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless and provide. Father, we would pray for our couple that is engaged, Lord, that thou wouldst be with them. Lord, and as they are expectant of a marriage soon, Father, we just pray thee that thou wouldst be with them and guide them as they would develop, Lord, in a relationship one with another and in thee. Father, we would pray for grace there. Father, we know that there are groups of brothers coming together for the purpose of guiding, Lord, that which is needful. Lord, that there would be young souls that would come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, we pray that thou wouldst bless the endeavors there, that there are also efforts, Lord, being brought forth that we might have an opportunity to understand each other more and on our needs, and that we would pray, Lord, in sincerity one for another and how we might accomplish that. Father, bless thou those efforts, that in all things, Father, thou wouldst be glorified, that in all things, Lord, thy name would be lifted up, and that the body of believers would be edified, and that those that know thee not would be drawn to the love that we would have one for another, and that and to the joy and the peace that is in our hearts in serving thee. So, Father, help us. Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. Father, but with thee, we know that we can do all things. Just pray a blessing upon the word now. Abide thou with us. Forgive us, Father, where we fail thee. Father, forgive us, Father, where we perhaps sometimes think a little bit too much about ourselves. Father, and then we know that when we think too much about ourselves, that leads to pride. And when pride comes, Father, certain destruction will follow. and there is no man that can help in that destruction. And so, Father, we just pray that thou wouldst keep us from ourselves. Help us to live sacrificial lives, Lord, surrendered unto thee, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has modeled that for us. Help us, Lord, that we would be followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for it is in his name that we do pray. Amen.
At this point in the life of Christ, he has become pretty well known, it seems, and that there were many that were familiar and had heard of him in one way or another because of the many miracles, because of the healing, the many things that he had performed and established while he was on this earth. And so here we find certain Greeks, it says, among them that came up to worship at the feast. And they inquired of Jesus. They wanted to see him, obviously because they maybe have heard more of things that he had done and maybe wanted to see a miracle. It doesn't clearly make that statement, but that says that they wanted to see Jesus. And of course, they tell Philip, Philip tells Andrew, and then they tell Jesus. And so in the response to this, he responds that the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Using a seed of corn in explaining to what it sounds to me that he has explained to them, and this is very true, if you have a grain of corn and you just keep it, that's all you got. But if you put it in the ground, it dies, it'll produce more fruit. And so this is what he was saying that with his own self. He had to die so that when he dies, otherwise he would be all by himself, he would be the only one to spread this gospel message. But when he dies, that means the word's going to be spread by many more because the fruit will come afterwards. And this is what I believe he is referring to here, that it says, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And then he talks about who that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hath life in the world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So we're instructed here, encouraged here by our Lord and Savior that we need to serve him as we live our Christian lives. Serve him meaning that we must, as he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And of course, I believe we all do that. We try as much as possible to keep his commandments. And as the scriptures tell us, his commandments are not grievous. And so he encourages us here that if we will serve him, his Father will serve us. And so that's an encouragement to us because be in favor of our God. And the best way and the only way that we can do that is do his will. When we go against his will, we do our own thing. That has a tendency to drive us away, if you will. James writes that a man is drawn away of his own and lust when it is finished bringeth forth sin, and sin when it bringeth forth is death. So when we go on our own, that's what happens. But if we cling to Christ, follow his ways, believe in him, trust in him, God will honor us because we have honored him, because we have believed him and trusted him. And this is exactly what he is saying. But he said that also his soul was troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. So he was well aware of the reason that God sent him. It was not a secret. He made it known to his disciples that he must die, that he must be ridiculed. He must be going before the sinners and before the publicans and all that, the chief priests and those that would hinder him, that would cause him to death. They was jealous of him. They didn't like him. They would have done everything they could to go against him. They tried to trick him in his words. They tried to do all kinds of things. And so he knew that the hatred was there by them. And so he says here that his soul was troubled because of what he had to go through. Again, indicating that he was not only God among us, but he had flesh and blood. He had feelings. He has looked to see what's ahead. He knew what was coming. And of course, anticipating the pain and the agony that might be with it. But nevertheless, he never backed down. He never said, "No, Lord, I can't do this." Only the time that he prayed, "If there'll be some other way that I could go through this." But he said, "Not my will, but thine will be done." And so he submitted himself to his heavenly Father, realizing that for this hour, came I unto this hour. And then the father, and he said to the to his father, "Glorify thy name." And then a voice came and said that, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And the people therefore that stood by heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. And Jesus said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." And so he wanted them to realize that God was with him. And that God was well aware of what's happening. And so God spoke. When he said, "Glorify thy name," he said, "I have already glorified it, and I will glorify it." And so that voice that came from heaven was a proof, if you will, that God is with him. God is in the presence. God knows what's going on. And so this is why I believe he said that, "For it came before your sakes." But he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And so he knew, and again, realizing what and why this corn has to die and has to produce more seed. Because he referred to his death. He knew what it was going to be. He knew it was going to be on the cross. This was not unexpected to him. And so he says, "When I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And that's the plan of salvation that we have today in this day and age. We believe that he died on the cross. He was lifted up. He shed his blood for us. And he died for our sins. And so we see here that this is what he's referring to when he says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And they not being a little bit ignorant as to what he was really referring to, because many times he's mentioned that the Son of Man must do this, the Son of Man must go here, the Son of Man all times referred to himself as the Son of Man. But some of them didn't understand, who is this Son of Man? And so he had to explain to him, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And so that's a fair statement made there that each of us need to realize and understand. When we come to the knowledge of the truth, it's referred to as, "I saw the light. I see the light of Jesus Christ." How many times you've heard that statement? "When I finally saw the light, then I come to the Lord. The Lord spoke to me, and I came to him." He is that light. He refers to that many times in the scriptures, that he is the light of the world, even as he mentions here. And if you walk in the light, as he is the light, you have life. If not, you're going to be in darkness, as he says here, and you won't know where you're going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. So this is the reason for us to understand and realize why we must see the light of Jesus Christ, believe in him, trust in him, and abide by his words. Because then we realize that we will be, as he says, we may be the children of light. And then these things spake Jesus and departed and hid himself from them. And again, he was aware that they wanted to, and it's mentioned in the scriptures also before that they wanted to make him king, and he realized this and acknowledged this, and he didn't want that to happen. He wasn't here to be a king on this earth. His kingdom was not of this earth. They didn't understand that. All they knew was he'd done so many miracles, he'd done so much good. He was a good teacher. They understood. He made the gospel message plain and clear, and they wanted to make him, they wanted to elevate him to a king, and no, that wasn't his purpose for coming. And so he actually had to hide himself, as he says here. And then it talks about, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And you know, sometimes I wonder about that. I've gone home already after having a sermon or after hearing a sermon and wondering who heard the report. Who really believes it? Who's willing to accept this plan of salvation as it's laid out for us? And sometimes when you look over the audience, you might see some sleeping, you see them talking, you see them laughing, you see all kinds of things happening from here, you see it. And you wonder, who has believed our report? But you know what? I've come to the conclusion that God didn't give me the responsibility to see who's going to accept this and who's not going to accept it. What he's given me, the responsibility, is to preach the gospel message. And if you hear it and allow it to penetrate your heart, you'll receive the light of Jesus Christ, and you won't walk in darkness. But if you disregard it, you don't hear it, you don't pay any attention, it doesn't mean anything to you, big deal. You came to church, you go home, you can tell people, yeah, I went to church Sunday. What you got out of it? Not much. Why? Because I was too busy talking, I was too busy sleeping, whatever the case might be. Sometimes I wonder who, and I can see what Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? Therefore they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, hath hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. No different than today. No different. And because of these blindness that people have been blinded, they blind themselves. When you tune us out, when you tune the scriptures out, when you tune the message out that you need to repent and become a child of God, you need to make restitution in your life, you tune that out. I know, I did it. I did it myself many times. I didn't want to hear it until I finally, as he says here, we see the light. It came to me that I was not ready to meet my Creator. That's when I saw the light. And now the same thing will happen to you. You see, no matter what we say here, how often we say it and how often you hear it, until you accept the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, you will never hear it. Your eyes will be blinded, and you'll never understand it. You have to submit yourself. You have to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. He came here to save us. He didn't come here to judge us. He came here to save us. And this is what he's saying to us here in this scriptures. But because of the sayings of Esaias, some eyes are blinded, and their hearts are hardened, can't be converted. And these things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. So you see, even though they were afraid, it says here that, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So you see, they rather, it says, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So, you know, you can believe on him. You can you say you come here, you believe in Jesus Christ, then that's good. You got to believe in him one time or another. But if you don't accept him, if you're afraid your friends are going to say something, you're afraid you're going to lose your friends, or you're going to, whatever the case might be, you're afraid of that, you'll never believe. You'll believe it, but you won't go no further with it. What does it mean then to believe? To believe means to accept it and to do something about it. James writes, faith without works is dead. If you do nothing with it, your faith is dead. It don't mean a hill of beans. Forget it. You have to react. You have to respond to the gospel message some way or another. And when you do, then that's when it comes and penetrates your heart. Your eyes will be opened and your heart will be softened. You'll be willing to accept the plan of salvation as it's given. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. John writes also, when Nicodemus came to him by night, and he wanted to know what he should do, what he could, about the plan of salvation. And Jesus said this to him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is the reason that he came, not to judge us, but to save us. Because he loved us. He loves us. And it doesn't matter how much sin or what kind of sins we have lived. He still loves us. And he still wants us to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, and believe on him, believe on this light that shines in the world. This is what he's telling us here and teaching us here. And if we reject him, he says, he that rejecteth me, receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So we need to remember, every one of us, converted and unconverted, the way that we're going to be judged at the end of the world is by the word of God. We're not going to be judged when it comes to that time, and then we're going to say, well, I didn't know that. How come this, I'm being judged here? It's in here. And the only reason that we're being judged is because of the word of God. That's how we're going to be judged. So we need to realize that. That it's only going to come through Jesus Christ's judgment. Only going to come through his word. That's why he says, I didn't come to judge you now. I don't come to condemn you. I come to save you. If we want to be saved, we believe in him, we trust in him, do his will, and then we find out and realize that we are not rejecting him. We're accepting the light of the faith of Jesus Christ. And so let us look into that. As he says, if I have spoken of myself, but my Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So he's saying here that this is God's will. What I'm telling you, what you're going to be judged with in God's word, this is what my Father has told me to say. And thanks be to God that we have men like John and the apostles and many others that wrote down these things to preserve them for us, that for this day and age, you and I know and understand what the plan of salvation is about and why it applies to us, and that all we need to do, read it, believe it, and trust in Him, and act upon that faith and that belief that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that's why he says, and I know that His commandments is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So he says, we know His commandment is life everlasting. And that's what His word is all about. Everlasting life. We don't choose life. Automatically, we choose death. No other way. There's nothing in between. There's no maybe, if, or and, or buts. No. You either believe it or you don't. You trust Him or you don't. But you got to believe that what you believe is God's word, His commandments, spoken through Jesus Christ for our salvation, for us to be saved, not to condemn us. Sometimes we read and see what he tells us we need to be repent, we need to humble ourselves and so on. That sounds like that we are condemning. We are actually condemning ourselves. He doesn't condemn us. But His word will tell us and show us the way. And then we react to that. We don't have to be condemned. We just have to believe and trust, obey His word. And this is what the scripture is all about. Because we are going to be judged by His word, no other way. At the end of our lives, every one of us in the scripture makes it very clear, we will give an answer for our lives. It makes no difference. Whether it's good or bad, we will know when that time comes. May God bless these words.